Welcome to the Dan and Cody Podcast.
This is the Dan and Cody Podcast.
A toy boat.
The arsonist had oddly shaped feet.
This is the Dan and Cody Podcast.
Red leather, yellow leather.
Saddle up, partner.
Dan and Cody Podcast, episode 36, four to go.
Episode 36. Shit, I gotta throw a couple bonus episodes and specials in there to
I
keep
guess you.
You
do, yeah. four episodes till the big 4-0.
And then you're gone.
And then I'm done. And then I quit.
Don't you do it, Cody. Please, no.
I have to quit because that's what I do. I'm a quitter, Dan.
Don't be that.
Well, I can only be what I am, and a quitter is what it is.
Strive for greatness. This podcast would not work without you. One, because it's called the Dan and Cody Podcast.
Yes.
Two, because I can't talk to myself. Three, I like having you around.
Oh, that means a lot to me. As one of the world's greatest sellouts, I'm going to quote him. Anything is possible!
And, dude, Kevin Garnett fucked that up, too.
No, he didn't.
He totally did.
How?
He was sponsored by Adidas.
Yeah.
And Adidas's tagline that they were running is, impossible is nothing.
Anything is possible. I thought that was the whole... I thought that was the big commercial thing, though, where they were always saying anything is possible.
No, they said impossible is nothing. He fucked it up.
Impossible is nothing! Yeah. I don't know. I think I like anything is possible better.
I think that's already been taken. Sorry.
Well, they used it in an Adidas commercial.
No, they said impossible is nothing.
No, but I'm saying they used afterwards, that moment after the fact,
right,
where he's like, anything is possible, you know?
It's like if LeBron was like, oh my God, guys, I'm liking it. Like, you have to use it, but you fucked it up because it's I'm loving it.
Yeah.
You know? I got a lot to talk about today.
Well, you've been sitting at home with a child for the last week.
Oh, man.
So I can imagine all you do is take little notes.
Dude, all I do is take little notes on anything and everything. One, just to update, little Moxie is great. She's above birth weight. I know how to stop her cries.
Good.
Cleaning poop, butts, it's not that bad. I thought I was going to be throwing up and stuff and like gagging, but it's not that bad. It's really not.
How did you overcome it?
It's just not as nasty as I thought it would be. Maybe because it's like, it's my kid, you know? Like, it smells, but it's nothing like...
It's like, yeah.
I'm like, dude, I got this. Jenny's doing great.
Good. When I walked in today, she had a real glow.
Yeah.
That normally she has, but last time I saw her, she was feeling a little bit under the weather. But now she's back.
Yeah.
She's doing championship boxing routines.
Oh, she's crushing it.
She's totally crushing it.
She got her hair done today.
She looks gorgeous.
Yeah, she's back.
You're a lucky dad.
MILF status.
Hey-o.
Sorry, Michael. I know that's your sister.
So fine, even the brother wants to hit it.
Right? Wait, what?
I'm talking about you, Dan.
I'm doing
the racial thing.
The brothers, like Michael.
No. Not hereditary brothers.
Okay, so I have a bone to pick with Hollywood right now.
Hollywood is ready for your bone picking.
I am very...
Do a thorough bone pick.
I'm upset, and I don't get it. And I thought that this was very ironic. I don't know if ironic's the word, but there was an article on Facebook that Ghostbusters, all female Ghostbusters, is losing $70 million.
Okay? Yes, I heard it hasn't done a lot. It's like 130 total.
It's not doing well, and I could have told you that. I saw it, actually. That was the last movie I saw before Mox was born, and I'm very disappointed that we went there to see that. But
it's a terrible movie.
So there's that article. Ghostbusters, all-female cast, losing $70 million. The article above that, today or yesterday, said, get ready for an all-female spinoff of Ocean's 11 with killer cast Sandra Bullock, Kate Blanchett, Rihanna, Anne Hathaway, who I fucking despise.
I love Anne Hathaway.
Oh, I can't stand
her. She's got a
her.
Naughty body, bud.
Ugh.
She does.
Sandra Bullock...
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
But Blind it's side. Like, dude, you know what?
She was in Speed. She was bombing Speed.
She was bombing Speed. And the net.
Good in the net, man. She got me into the internet.
The net.
That and all of the naked women that were on it.
But it's like, dude, you know what? I'm not sexist because I didn't like Ghostbusters or because I didn't want it made. And I'm not sexist because I don't want this Ocean's 11 movie to get made. Because I liked the original Ghostbusters. And I liked the original Ocean, well, the remake of Ocean's 11.
Of course you did, because it was filled with junk.
It was fucking good. It was good, and I don't know why you have to remake it, and then on top of that, like, shove all female cast down my throat.
Whoa.
Why?
Whoa.
What's the point? What is the point? Ghostbusters alone, historically bad. They fucked that movie up.
It was bad. I agree with you. I agree. It was they underutilized the characters they had. I actually felt the reason it wasn't bad. I don't feel it was bad because of the women. I actually feel it was bad because of the fact that they Star Wars'd it by kind of remaking the first Ghostbusters.
Right. And like unmaking all of the other Ghostbusters.
Yeah, they did that. The other feeling that I thought from that, I actually feel they underutilized the girls. And by that I mean you have these two main characters, Melissa McCarthy's character and Kristen Wiig's character, and they are like the main, they're your staples of the movie,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
These two women made their careers off of weird, eccentric, crazy characters.
Yeah.
And they walk into these roles, and I don't know if they're told to play them straight or what, but they play these roles pretty straight.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like even if they would have added a little oomph, like Melissa McCarthy's whole shtick was, oh, there's not enough like dumplings in my chicken dumpling soup.
Yeah.
Terrible.
It's like, and I think that's also they handcuffed the director, Feig.
Did they?
Feige,
I think. He wrote it.
It was PG-13.
He wrote it.
That there was, it was PG-13. There was a queef joke.
Yeah.
And like that, those people are not PG-13 people.
No.
Those are our people. No. Look at Bridesmaids. Like, you wanted Bridesmaids PG-13? That's fucking Father of the Bride.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I honestly
see what you're saying. I mean, I there were some stop and goes, and there were some good things that were in the movie. I thought Kate McKinnon's character, because she was weird and kind of kooky.
Yeah,
I loved it. It wasn't way over the top.
Right.
It was just enough to where you're like, oh. And then Leslie Jones. I mean, I feel for this girl.
Because
she's handcuffed in this role of being like this crazy loud black woman.
Yeah.
And I feel like she could do so much more.
Yeah.
And then the one thing that actually ruined it for me, there were no stakes. And by that,
no stakes.
I mean, I was not afraid for these women at any given point. Because these ghosts aren't going to kill anybody. Actually, when they said that the world's going to break out and there's going to be all these ghosts, I thought to myself, so?
Yeah, it seems like they just hover around.
There was a big giant dragon ghost that did nothing to nobody except stand on Leslie Jones's shoulders.
And they vomit on you.
Yeah, and they vomit on you. They spit the glue, and it's not even like acidic, like an alien.
It was stupid.
I felt bad about that. I did.
And the science behind the proton packs, it was like, what? Do these hurt them? Do these capture them? Do these restrain them? Or do these blow them up?
Yeah, it didn't feel like they could make a decision. And, you know, I get it. They wanted to show like all these options that they could do with it, and that's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool. Like, you want to play in that? I'll buy into it.
Yeah,
but I struggled with buying into this idea that this movie was supposed to be scary, and there was nothing scary about it. And when you watch the original Ghostbusters,
it's kinda scary.
It's scary because you have these dogs that will kill people.
They were not cool.
They ate people. You didn't know what happened to them. You didn't realize that at the end of the movie, they would come out of these charburnt dogs and they were okay.
Even two? Dude, Viggo was fucking frightening.
He was dangerous.
I was very scared of him.
He was dangerous.
This bad guy, he's a great actor. He's from The Groundlings. I forget his name, but he was in a great show on Yahoo Screens called Other Space with a bunch of young like improv actors that Figgy also did... Other Space.
Yeah.
It was like The Office, but in space.
Yeah.
It was fucking really, really cool.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. But he and the AT&T girl was in Other Space too. But is this the end of all female reboots?
No. I hope not.
Am I sexist?
No, I don't. Because, I don't think, like, you're sexist. I think this is a small sample size to determine if something is a good reboot. I don't think this. I think this movie had potential to be really, really good. I really do. I just feel like I think the source of what it originally was kind of a big thing to tackle. In my opinion, it's like trying to tackle Back to the Future.
Yeah,
you can't really remake that. And if you're gonna do it, you know, try and honor where it originally came from and go with that. And they tried to honor it, but not in the way I liked. And I appreciate, yeah, you know, I loved Ernie Hudson's cameo, and I loved
Winston. Did you see the Harold Ramis statue?
Yeah, right at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I did not. I also liked Dan Aykroyd's.
Yeah,
like as the that was great.
It was cool.
That was great. I did not like what they did with Bill Murray.
Yeah, it was like, pointless. What?
You could cut that out, and it wouldn't have mattered.
Stupid. And just,
and it wasn't funny.
And like, who was that movie for? It wasn't for Ghostbusters purists, because they trampled the heritage of Ghostbusters.
Yes.
It wasn't for kids, because there were some dirty jokes in there.
Yes.
It wasn't for people who love Kristen Wiig, because as you said, she played it straight.
Yeah.
You know, who, like, was this movie for girls? Was it just for girls? No. Because it was an action movie. It's like, I don't understand who the fuck this movie was for.
Yeah.
Like, every big beat, like, you could tell, like, okay, they thought this was going to get a huge laugh. And our theater was silent. I think three people left during the movie.
Wow. It
was fucking ridiculous.
Well, I remember walking out with Madeline, and I was upset. Like, she just could tell I was upset. Like, she could tell I was mad.
Yeah.
No, it's not even, like, kind of. I was walking out, and I was just, I was furious.
That's
because
so
I felt
funny.
Like, I honestly felt like they'd taken something away from a movie and a brand of a story that I really, really loved.
Yeah.
And that's not to say, like, I get the energy and the time put behind a lot of these projects, and I salute those guys for making them. But I do have to say that I just felt they were really off the mark.
Yeah. That's funny that you say that, because when I leave a bad movie, Jenny sees me, like, I wear it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm a very upset. It's like that's like a $30 mistake now.
No, it's expensive. It's, yeah, and I saw it. Stupid. I saw it at what is it? The right next to Universal.
Oh, parking.
Yeah, thanks.
That's like a $50 mistake.
It's $10 plus the $3 discount plus, you know, you had to see it in 3D or something.
Yeah,
and so we saw it in 3D, and that was like $22 a person.
Oh god,
so, you know, that was a $50, $60 night.
Jesus.
Ugh.
But I'm like, just. I don't, and I think, you know, this, the same thing will happen with this Ocean's movie.
I'm not worried about that. I think the Ocean movie, I think that plays more into the hands of, like, you could have done Ocean's 11 with a cast of women, and it would have been just as good.
It'd have been Charlie's Angels. They already did Charlie's Angels. What if men rebooted Steel Magnolias with all dudes? Like, would those same people be like, that's great. It's really great they're doing that.
That's totally different, though.
It's like all girls.
No, but I know it's all girls. But, like, the topic of conversation in those movies were very different. And I think the difference between, like, a caper and Steel Magnolias is very, very...
I'm just saying all girls change to all guys. Like,
I get what you're
saying. The Joy Luck Club with all Asian men. How about that? Or the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
That's not to say that that hasn't been done with dudes before, though. I'm trying to think off the top of my head.
Has there been a girl movie remade for guys?
A female movie remade for guys?
Yeah.
Maybe not exactly in the same manner, but, you know.
Because, you know, they take movies and make them black movies.
Blaxploitation movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like...
Yeah. Annie. They made Annie all black.
Yeah,
they do it a lot on stage. Yeah. They'd be like, okay, let's take Of Mice and Men all black.
Did
and
you
like,
see... oh, shit. I can't remember. It's not important. There was... I can't remember the movie. It doesn't matter.
It'll come to you.
Anyway, nonetheless. I mean, and this actually kind of segues into what we were talking... You know how we were talking about weird characters?
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about a movie I just saw. I woke up, I get up early in the morning, and I got on Netflix, and I log in, and I watch this movie with Kristen Wiig. Did I tell you about this?
Yeah, yeah.
Did we talk about it on the podcast?
I think we talked about it off.
We talked about it off the podcast
last week, but
I want to bring it up on the podcast because I was so impressed with this film. So it was. Let me pull up the movie real quick because I'm terrible with remembering the titles. But it's on Netflix right now. Kristen Wiig's character, she battles a psychological.
She's like bipolar.
Yeah, she's bipolar. She deals with what's it called? So she deals with this. She wins the lottery, right?
Right.
So she wins the lottery, and she has some mental issues. And like the title of the movie is called Welcome to Me, and it's directed by I'm not doing it justice. Shira Piven and Kristen Wiig character. Just to give you kind of an idea, she goes to a psychiatrist who is Tim Robbins. It's played by Tim Robbins, and she is having to deal with this. And she's a big fan of Oprah, and she follows Oprah, and she wins $83 million. And she basically goes to a company that sells products on through the television, and she requests to make 100 episodes, which costs her $15 million.
Right.
So she writes it, and she wants all of these like odd, strange things where she basically talks about herself. And it's one of the most original, creative, one of the best directed films I've seen in a while.
And this whole movie, you can just see her spinning out of control
completely.
And this the show, they have like a moral dilemma because they're like, do we let this woman who's clearly fucking insane?
Yes.
Keep doing this show that is dangerous to her and others.
Yeah.
Or and like still get these amazing ratings because it's fucking crazy.
Yes.
Or do we shut it down?
Yeah.
Because this woman is just
And you watch her do this, and Kristen Wiig's performance is great. But I tipped my hat off and it was cool.
It's really good.
I tweeted the director.
Uh huh.
I said, awesome story, whatever it was.
They right back.
She loved my tweet.
Oh yeah!
So I was like, "Yo, that's just a hat tap, tip of the hat to you, my dear."
It's cool when people respond.
Yeah, it's really cool. I appreciate it, and she did such a good job. And it's tough to be a woman director, kind of. I think in this industry, and I just salute her, and I just wanted to, just
big
say
up,
how much
big ups to you.
Big ups for an awesome script, awesome direction, great acting. I mean, it was just really well put together. So,
Welcome to Me. Check it out on iTunes. I mean, on
Netflix.
Netflix. It's got a 73% on Rotten Tomatoes,
which I'm really surprised by. But that's cool.
Good.
I get it.
That's a solid score.
Solid score. But it's an indie film, and it appeals to a very small audience.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's my Kristen Wiig thought on the day.
Hey, gang. I want to tell you about a company called JC Roomblocks. These guys help you with your hotel room block accommodations of 10 or more guests. If you're having a wedding, if you are having a bachelor party, if you're having a corporate event, a family reunion, anything like that, you can contact jcroomblocks.com and they will be your go-between the hotel and you. They hook you up, they set you up, and it's a totally free service if you mention our name, Dan and Cody Podcast. I've used them, Cody's used them for his wedding. It's a great service and hassle-free. Hit them up, jcroomblocks.com. They're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Holla. Little side story for you. I was listening to KFI this morning on the way to Jenny's lactation consultant.
I'm sorry?
It's just like an office that like teaches you how to like breastfeed better.
Do they test your milk?
No, it's not like that. It's more like how the baby is like latching on and like how you should hold her to like be successful.
And then at any given time, do they test Jenny's milk?
No, there's no milk.
Not
test.
There, but does the doctor?
No.
So there's no like purity rating on Jenny's milk.
No.
Interesting.
No, I haven't tried it yet either. I think I might.
You're going to give it a shot?
I might give it a little taste, just like on the finger.
If it tastes anything like cow milk, I'm down. If it doesn't, I'm not interested.
Okay, but all right. That was a side note. I was on the way to that, and we were listening to the radio, mm-hmm. and they were talking about like weird mascots, and they brought up a school in Idaho, and I immediately like,
Cody. Oh,
Cody, Idaho. Do you know about the Orofino, Idaho school?
Orofino, I think it's like a northern Idaho school.
There.
Is it? Where is it located?
There. Let's see. Or their logo or their mascot is the Orofino Maniacs.
And what do they look like?
It's this guy. The logo is this guy just going berserk.
Really?
Yeah. And it's probably slightly offensive to.
Where is it located?
To the sum.
It is located Clearwater County. Which means what to me? I don't know. Where is Clearwater? Is it north? Oh, no, it's not.
The Orofino Maniacs. Like,
it is north. It is north.
Did you ever play them?
No, they're way too far. Like, to get from where I grew up to Orofino, that's like a 10-hour drive.
Oh, damn.
That just gives you an idea of just the size of Idaho, right? So that's like a 10-hour drive. And actually, if you look up a great school with a great mascot, isn't Blackfoot, but they're called the Russets.
The Russets?
Uh-huh. And they're called the Shelley Russets. And it's a little like dancing potato.
You got some crazy logos in Idaho.
Yeah,
man.
It's pretty nuts, but the Russets.
But like, could you imagine being the coach of the Orofino Maniacs? And he's like, kids, we need you all to be successful, and we need to play maniac football. All right? Now get out there and play like maniacs. Like I know you can. Like, what the fuck?
Out of control.
And then people are mad at Redskins, man. What about maniacs?
Well, maniacs isn't...
Making fun of people with mental illnesses.
Agreed.
Like, this, like, Google Orofino Maniacs, guys. This guy, this mascot is going berserk and should be in a mental institution.
Well, I'm glad that Idaho did not disappoint.
Oh, had the state...
It almost looks like there's a face in his mouth.
Yeah, listen to this. Had the state of Idaho not decided to place a mental hospital within a stone's throw of the high school, the Maniacs mascot name would likely be a cool name and nothing more. But because the Idaho State Hospital North is so close by, you get two different trains of thought. One, to some, it's a hilarious coincidence and a source of pride. And two, others, it's an unfortunate connection that should be changed. So there's a mental hospital right by the Orofino Maniacs High School.
There are a total of two mental hospitals in the state of Idaho. One's in northern Idaho. The other's in southern Idaho, where I grew up.
Really?
Yeah.
And you broke out.
I did. I broke out. Hello, L.A.
You busted
Everybody
out.
Loves my L.A. lifestyle.
We're all maniacs here.
We're all maniacs here. So.
But yeah, Orofino Maniacs.
Crazy.
Holla.
Grip them. Say hi to us, Orofino. We know you're there.
Orofino!
Dude!
Yo.
What's the story with The Rock, man?
What?
Why is he being a drama queen?
What'd he do?
What do you mean, what'd he do? You didn't hear the news?
No.
He's always an upstanding dude, but he decided to talk some mad shit on set of Fast and the Furious 8, my friend.
What?
Oh, yeah. Let's just say him and Vin Diesel aren't getting along.
Really?
Big time. Big drama on the set, and he actually backpedaled today on a tweet/Instagram/social media statement that he made the day before.
Really?
Yes, yes, yes. Would you like me to read to you?
It says they posted dueling Instagram photos.
Well, it wasn't even that. It was, what do you call it? It was the Rock statement. Did you see what the Rock statement was?
Dwayne Johnson clarifies Fast 8 conflict. But you know, I know in Fast 5, when Dwayne's character Hobbs was introduced, it's in their contracts that Vin can't lose. He can't lose a fight.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so like it's in there like, this is my franchise and I can't lose to Rock, to Hobbs.
What?
Yeah. So well, maybe that's
basically
why.
The Rock basically called somebody a candy ass. You ready to hear this?
Yes.
Okay, here it is. Here's what he wrote on Instagram.
What did he say?
My final week of shooting, hashtag Fast and Furious. There's no greatness ever achieved alone. It's always a team effort. We promised an epic prison breakout for you guys, and we delivered. Huge thank you to my Ohana family, stunt coordinator. Actually, wait a minute. I don't think this is the one I wanted to read.
No.
No, read me the candy-ass one. You have it there?
He says, you guys reading this know how much I believe in the idea of a team effort. That means respecting every person.
Yes, this is it.
Their time and their value when they step onto my set or partner with our production company. And like with any team that's a family, there's going to be conflict. Family is going to have differences of opinion and fundamental core beliefs. To me, conflict can be a good thing when it's followed by great resolution. I was raised on healthy conflict and welcome it. And like any family, we get better from it. At the end of the day, me and the Fast 8 co-stars all agree on the most important thing, delivering an incredible movie.
Oh, that's not it either.
To the world of Fast 8.
Yeah.
So something. So he said something.
So he basically called Vin Diesel a candy ass, and he said, he's like, there's a lot of us that are working really hard, and there's a lot of us that bitch and complain and do nothing about it, but still bitch and complain.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't like that about The Rock, man. Like, yeah, they brought you in. It's like, dog, they were good. Fast and Furious, the fourth installment, was like a starting point, a new starting point. Like, they were back. They were strong. And then they brought Fast 5, they brought in Dwayne as sort of like a energy boost to the franchise, which it did. It completely recharged the franchise.
I mean, he's the biggest movie star on the planet right now.
Right. But, like, yo, you can't say that about your co-star, especially Vin Diesel. That's his shit. That's his movie. That's his empire.
Maybe.
No matter what he does,
cast is too big. I think you can't. Here's basically what he said. My male coworkers, however, are a different story. Some conduct themselves as stand-up men and true professionals, while others don't. The ones that don't are too chicken shit to do anything about it anyway. Candy asses. Period.
Wow.
Oh yeah.
He went ham on them.
Oh, he did. He did. He got angry.
Damn.
Anyway,
he was probably hangry.
He was hangry. Way hangry.
He's hungry.
Anyway,
he just didn't have his food. No, I disagree. You can't say that shit about, especially Vin.
He's your boy, though. That's, you gotta stand shit behind your boy, man.
They're both my boys. That's
But like, who's your real boy?
I don't know, man. Vin was my original boy.
What? Now you're stepping back on The Rock right now.
I don't know.
Sounds like an affair to me.
I love them both, but Vin was my original road dog, and then The Rock.
I love how your original road dog was Vin Diesel and mine was Mel Gibson. It really shows the differences between you and me.
Vin Diesel and Mel Gibson should do a movie together.
Oh, that would be amazing. What would they call it? Lethal Weapon.
Deep Throats.
Deep Throats.
They both have deep, throaty voices.
Now they're like, yeah, but now Mel Gibson's like so smoky.
Hey, how you doing? My name's Mel Gibson.
And then he does an Australian accent.
Mel.
Anyway, but that's the new drama on the set of the Fast and the Furious 8.
Dude, it's crazy, man.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's nuts. It's nuts.
Did you hear about
what?
About our boy Dennis Rodman?
What?
D-Rod.
What did Dennis Rodman do?
D-Rod, he came out with a video about how he broke his penis 3 times.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You heard about that?
No. Why?
He said, like, you can break your penis.
What does that mean?
He basically, shit, it's like a video, so I can't even play it. But he basically tells 3 stories, one of which how, like, he would, him and his girlfriend would be doing it, and, well, not doing it yet, but, like, hooking up, and then, one of them told him to, like, run at her from across the room naked and like jump into her.
Oh, wow.
And he tried it and he heard a snap.
Oh my God.
He heard a snap and like blood started squirting out of his penis like profusely. And he's like, I broke my penis. And then he had to go to the hospital and like you take a pill, you get a shot, and then you get fixed.
What?
Yeah. He's like, he says he broke
that's
his
so,
dick.
That's really, really crazy. That's one of the new events at Rio this year.
Yeah, this is, where is it? The initial break, which he really opened up about in the video, occurred on a boat when his girlfriend told him to run and jump in her pussy.
Okay.
Rodman obliged and soon after heard a crunching sound describing the aftermath as blood everywhere. So, like, you can break your dick, apparently.
Wow.
And
he must have missed.
Yeah. And he did it a third time, and he went to the hospital, and, like, the doctor kept bringing in all these people, and, like, someone snapped a picture of it, of his dick. And then later he says that hospital called him and was like, we're going to release the photos. Give us $25,000.
What?
And he was, and that's this, BS, this is a Robin man. Story. And he said he was like, go ahead, release the pictures. I'm not paying you. Old Rodman in the news.
Good for you, Dennis. But another one of your war stories from back in the day.
But for breaking dicks. If you go on the Dan and Cody Podcast Facebook page, I posted an article there, and it tells the whole video.
It gives you all the details you could ever want knowing. Yeah. Sounds amazing.
Good old Denny.
Huh. Well, how about that?
How about that, man? Did you hear about this, the Walmart issue?
No.
Oh, boy.
What about Walmart?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. This Walmart in New York, they found a meth lab under it.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, man. They found a meth lab that was operating under Walmart in the sewer.
A meth lab in the sewer, so it wasn't in Walmart.
It wasn't in Walmart.
It just happened to be in, like...
It was under it.
So you could say that it was on city property.
Like, directly under it. The pipe was wide enough for a 6-foot-tall person to walk through, leading to the meth lab that runs underground near the Walmart parking lot exit on Sheridan Drive.
Was it also a distribution center?
They found a makeshift table of wood propped on top of a tire along with soda bottles filled with solvents used to make meth.
Wow.
There's no danger to the community, but the police don't know how long the underground operation was thriving.
Were they buying their supplies at Walmart?
They could have been.
Wow.
A little one-stop shop.
Yeah.
It's cool they were underground like Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, but you would have hoped it would have been the Ninja Turtles and not meth dealers.
Yeah. But the, and then, like, you know, smoke, steam rises from, like, the sewers.
Oh, yeah.
And then, and it's just
meth. And
then
this time it's just meth.
And it's like, yeah, fuck it, it's New York.
Yeah. So it's a good, why does it smell like that? It smells like meth. Oh, it's because it is.
It's genius.
There's meth in this here streets.
It's goddamn genius, Cody.
Ooh, yeah, not interested.
I've never done meth. Have you done meth?
No, most I've ever, you know.
I've
eaten some bad brownies once. That's as far as it goes.
Well, we went to, when we moved to LA, we went to Jenny's mom's in Indiana.
Uh-huh.
Jenny's mom had like two dogs, and I'm like super allergic. So I had to go get like the badass allergy meds from a CVS.
Yes.
And like we went to a CVS and they like hardcore, I had to fill out this form. They had to like photocopy my ID for like Claritin D, like the good shit.
Really?
Yeah, because apparently in Indiana there's this major meth problem.
And they use that to make everything.
Yeah, I was like, why the fuck are they grilling me so hard for
making the meth?
For allergy meds. I'm not trying to make meth. And I was buying one pack. I don't even know how you make meth.
I don't either. It's got something to do with like a Winnebago and a science teacher, right?
Yeah. You got to have one or both of those.
I don't know. I have no idea.
And Aaron Paul.
I've been kind of preoccupied and crazy about people born on my birthday.
I am too.
Who you got?
On my birthday?
Yeah. Name some biggies.
Shit.
Anybody?
Yeah.
There's nobody that pops in your mind?
On your birthday?
No. I feel pretty good about my birthday. I actually like what I've got, with the exception of one because I am. What do you know? What band I despise? Do you remember this?
Is it?
It's the
Nickelback?
Question. No. Well, yeah, I despise them, but it's a band that I'd always ask when I was dating. Do you like this band? If so, that defines that you and I will never really find anything in common.
Third Eye Blind?
Oh, no. I love Third Eye Blind. How dare you?
I don't know.
AC/DC.
You do hate them?
Oh, they're terrible.
What?
They're terrible. They're terrible. Coincidentally.
You don't like a little Thunderstruck?
Coincidentally, Angus Young happens to be born on the 31st of March.
Ooh. Really?
Yes. Yes. However, I do have to say that I feel very good about Ewan McGregor.
Nice.
And Al Gore.
Ewan's cool. Gore's cool.
Let's see. My favorite one, though, on top of all of these, is none other than the great Christopher Walken.
He's born on your birthday.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yep.
He's funny. Funny you mention that, because Christopher Walken's been here the whole time.
Wow, listening I'm amazed. To hey guys, how you doing?
It's What's up, Chris?
Hey, Dan, Hill, Cody, how you doing? It's good to see you.
We're doing great, man.
Wow, I mean, I like your setup. You got microphones and people. Wow, I'm amazed.
Dude, welcome to my house in Canyon Country. It's like really awesome to have you here.
It's gorgeous. When I walked in, I thought to myself, wow, this is a temple for a family with a newborn baby.
Yeah.
I'm blown away. I could smell Moxie from the driveway, and I didn't realize that Moxie was actually a baby.
Yeah, it's a baby and a soda and an attitude.
Wow, I'm amazed.
It's,
congratulations, Dan. Congratulations, Jenny.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. It means a lot, man.
Beautiful babies.
How long are you staying? I gotta ask, because my dad's coming to town, and he kind of needs that room.
Your dad, well, it looks like we're gonna have to share, but that's okay. I brought a sleeping bag.
You did?
I did, and some cotton padding that I'm gonna put underneath me, because I like the comfort.
Yeah, I wouldn't think, Chris, I wouldn't expect you to sleep directly on the floor or anything. Of course you've got padding.
No, that's why I have my cotton pad that I use.
I'm glad. So what are you gonna do while you're here?
I plan to go over to Buffalo Wild Wings.
Nice.
And get myself some well-done honey barbecued.
Really? You're a barbecue guy?
Well, I've never had them, but Cody said they're real good. I did. I did say they were really good, Chris. Yeah. You should try them.
You should really try them.
Yeah, I think I will. I'm amazed.
The Infernos. I would feel that would mess up your voice too much, Chris. Stay away from the Infernos.
Yeah, stay away from those, Chris, because those Infernos will blow your mouth off. Wow, blow my mouth off. I'm going to stay away from those.
Do it.
Get out of here, guy.
Cody, what was your favorite Walken movie?
Favorite Walken movie of all time. I mean, Deer Hunter.
Deer Hunter?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Holy shit. Wow, I'm amazed. You've never seen it.
My bad, Chris.
No, it's my best performance ever.
You think is that your favorite, Chris?
Yeah. I mean, I won an Oscar for it. Why wouldn't it be?
I'm so sorry.
I'm telling you, man, you need to watch Deer Hunter. It'll blow your face off. Like, it is like so real and so harsh. There is a sequence, and basically, do you know what Deer Hunter's about?
No.
So it's kind of a band of brothers. They grow up in this small backcountry town, and they're sent off to Vietnam. Well, what happens in Vietnam is these guys are changed forever. And while they're there, they're actually become prisoners of war. So Christopher Walken
POWs?
And Robert De Niro are like best friends.
Dude, I need to watch this right
and
now.
And what happens is there's this moment where they're in this POW camp and they are playing Russian roulette with each other because the guards are forcing them to do it.
The deer, damn.
And so this really what happens is the very end of the movie. Christopher Walken's character has been...
Don't tell me then.
It's the most emotionally heavy moment I've ever seen in a film.
Really?
It's so hard to watch because De Niro does such an amazing job.
Meryl Streep's in this,
too. Oh, yeah. Young Meryl Streep. Fine looking. Yeah, wow. Meryl Streep looked good. I would have dated her, but she was too busy with Bobby.
Chris, looking back at your career, like, I loved Catch Me If You Can. Love Wedding Crashers. I forgot you were in Pulp Fiction. But recently, I mean, I love Suicide Kings. Do you remember Suicide Kings?
Of course. I've actually never seen it.
He's like a mob boss, and these kids, they kidnap him, and they tie him up, and they cut off his fucking finger.
Really?
They cut off his finger, and they like send it for like ransom. And he's like, "You guys are going to." I'm sorry, Chris. I'm not doing your accent.
No, you're doing all right. It's better than me. He's
like, they're gonna kill you. Oh, it's terrible.
Sorry. Did you ever see Dennis Hopper and him where he's a mob boss?
Dennis, no.
Oh my gosh, it's Something of a Rose, right?
Damn,
dude, you need to see it because it is. There's a scene where he's basically talking. What's the name of the? It's from 1990. I think it's 90. True Romance.
Oh, love True Romance.
So
Hopper's not he's not a mob boss in that.
No, he's not. But De Niro,
Walken
is. Yeah. He's a mob boss, and he has like this whole interaction before he ends up killing.
Yeah, and he's like, he calls him a fucking eggplant.
Yeah,
and he's like, "Do you know what an eggplant is?
Yeah,
you know why they call you guys eggplants?" And it's so fucked up. And Hopper's like,
he uses the N-word to describe, like,
yeah, it's because the Italians got raped and pillaged by all the niggas.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why you all are so dark. And then like they just have this moment, and Walken's like laughing straight at him, like. Like, they're both just laughing about this interaction, and Walken is laughing because he knows, like, I have to fucking kill this guy.
Yep, pretty much.
For what he said.
It's crazy.
It's a great moment, Chris.
Great, great scene. He's had a lot of great scenes, and he's been in so many movies that it's just...
My God, yeah.
You don't even realize half the movies he's been in, but he's been a working actor since, you know, the late 60s, early 70s. Jeez. 129 credits to his name on IMDb.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I loved Jungle Book too. He kicked ass in that new Jungle Book.
I didn't see it.
As Louis.
I want to check it out. I haven't seen it. I got to check it out. I hear it's good.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. I sing that shit to Moxie all the time. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I want to be like you.
Nice.
I want to walk like you. Talk like humans do.
They sing that?
Yeah. Walken sings it.
Huh? Wow, that's impressive.
But, Chris.
Yeah.
What happened with Peter Pan Live, bro?
I don't know, you know.
You really shit the bed with that
one. You sold a bag of goods, and you go to open it, and inside there's not anything good in it. It's just a bag.
Why would you do that to yourself?
I don't know. I wanted to try. Sometimes you have to go outside and stand on top of the building and spread your wings, and sometimes you can fly. Other times, well, as you can tell, I hit the floor. It's terrible.
Bro, you put yourself out there, and I mean, you were out there.
That's the idea.
Just bad.
Well, sometimes you don't always win the fights. You lose them because you need to come out stronger.
But you win the war.
No, never won a war, ever. Anyway, I gotta go.
God bless you, Chris.
Thank you, Cody.
Don't forget your sleeping bag. You can still sleep here.
All right, maybe I will. I'll see you later, Dan.
All right, bro.
Cody, make sure you wear some underwear next time. Wow. Sorry, I don't... Why? Anyway.
Later, Chris.
Later, Chris. See you, buddy. That dude.
That dude, man.
Anyway.
I'm glad. I'm glad he was here.
Yeah, I'm happy he showed up.
We're on Twitter now.
Twitter?
We're tweeting now.
We got our tweets out?
We were doing just like, I was doing steady tweets for us, for Dan and Cody.
Now you can follow us?
Now you can follow us, man.
Where can you follow us?
It's, the handle is at Dan Cody Podcast.
Dan Cody Podcast.
On Twitter.
Would check that out.
Check that shit out, man. Wow. We post a lot of stuff on Twitter.
I imagine we got some amazing tweets that come from the minds of you and me.
So many tweets from you and me collectively.
Right.
Equally.
Oh, so much fun.
It's good, man. It's great.
Good.
I want to say one thing about about my experience with using the hashtag Pottern Family.
Yes.
It has been the most gratifying experience to use that hashtag, and like the whole thing behind Pottern Family is that you tweet Pottern Family.
Yes.
And then a whole group of other podcasts also use that hashtag, and then they retweet your stuff, like your stuff.
Nice.
Listen to your stuff.
Yes.
You share things, you rate and review, and it's just, It's really cool.
It's a great network.
It's a great network, and I'm getting a lot of podcasts in. Like, I'm listening to these podcasts. They're fun. It's really, really cool. And, you know, we've gained a ton more followers from Potter Family, and I just want to...
Give a shout out.
I wanted to give a shout out and thank so many people for hooking us up, especially my man Kwame and Miss Free from Enter the Blaze.
Oh yeah, the Blaze.
Blaze Entertainment.
Them. Yeah,
they're up and coming podcast. They do a comedy thing like us, and they just recently had me on to talk about the Dan and Cody podcast, and I really appreciate them doing that.
Thank
for me.
Thank you guys so much.
And we want to have them on ours too. Also, Questionable Viewing Habits, of course. That's a rewatch podcast about the OC.
Oh, wow.
Done by Tim Braun and Jamie Stevens. They're in the game. They're killing it. Really, really good stuff. This or That podcast. That's a really, really funny fucking podcast. Every episode they take two examples. Like, Cody, would you rather have a fake girlfriend for the rest of your life or have a fake boat?
And now, obviously, you all know the answer to that.
Fake girlfriend.
Fake boat.
You'd rather have the fake boat.
I love boats.
Because the argument that they're going on with is like, if you have a fake boat, then you have to learn everything about boats.
Sounds awesome.
If you have a fake girlfriend, you just make shit up.
Yeah, but you still got to know, learn about girls.
Right. Would you rather take... So, like, that's a podcast. It's so fucking funny.
That's awesome.
And, like, would you rather have... Would you rather take all your advice from WebMD or Yahoo Answers?
Yeah. I mean, that's... Yahoo Answers is going to be the more...
There's some crazy shit on there.
Huh.
And the Countdown Pod. They count down the top 10, like, movies or TV shows. It's just really, really good podcast. So I just wanted to say thanks to those people for helping the Dan and Cody podcast, retweeting and all that stuff.
We appreciate it. And the other thing is, just so everybody knows that's listening, we have grown.
We're growing.
We're growing. We're getting listeners, and we appreciate all the fans that we have out there that do listen. Any feedback, any thoughts, you guys can always email us at danandcodypodcast@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we will take your emails. We'll read them to each other. Dan and I, late at night, I know he lives in Canyon Country and I'm in Toluca Lake, but we'll call each other. We stay up on the phone.
We fell asleep on the phone the other night.
We
it
did.
It was crazy.
I could hear him breathing. I could hear Jenny breathing, and I could hear Moxie crying.
It was like sixth grade.
Somebody needs to take care of this kid.
It's great, man. Yeah, someone help us.
Please.
Please help us.
Anyway.
But yeah, we just had a birthday too. Happy birthday, Dan and Cody podcast.
Happy birthday, Dan and Cody podcast.
Coincidentally, also Moxie's birthday.
What are the chances? That's nuts.
It's absolutely nuts. But yeah.
So keep following us. Keep subscribing. Keep sharing us with your friends.
We love you.
Thanks for listening to the Dan and Cody podcast.
Subscribe, bitch!
Hey, everybody, play the tough guy to shoot, bro. Right.